sports ethos.
We promised you back to back. We had four prospects last night. We're back again today. We got four more. We're giving you the Jalens. This is the Jalen prospect covering headquarters of the world right here. We talked about Jalen Williams from Santa Clara yesterday. We're talking about Jalen Williams from Arkansas tonight. Gonna talk about, let's see, we got Jalen Williams, Hugo Bisson, Justin Lewis, not the one formerly of Grizzly Bear Blues, Justin Lewis from Marquette, and Ismael Kamagate from Paris, a 6'11 big. Isaac, man, we're back at it again, trying to run through these prospects, let everybody know what's up with as many as we can. Who do you want to start with today?
We go ahead and start with Ismael Kamagate, as you just mentioned, 6'11", 220-pound, big, 21 years old, turns 22 in January of next year. So he's a bit of an older prospect, even though he's raw. Plays for Paris basketball in France, 11.3 points, 6.3 rebounds, 1.6 blocks, 65.4% from the free throw line, 64.3% field goal percentage. I think the first thing that stands out on film with him is he's a freak athlete, above the rim, really allows him to catch and finish at the basket. Also finishes well at the rim on cuts. I really like that. You see him get cut to the basket, catch the pass, and go right up and finish, man. Doesn't have to put the ball on the ground. Negative on his inside play would be his footwork, man. He doesn't really have a lot of back-to-the-basket moves right now. I mean, he doesn't have a lot of development on his footwork. That's something that he's going to have to get better at. As he goes to the NBA, because it's not going to just be as easy as every time just going up, catching and finishing. Sometimes you're going to have to try to back guys down. He doesn't really have that developed in his game yet. He kind of, when you watch, he just kind of bullies his way to the rim and just kind of pushes guys out of the way. And it's that's not going to play so much when you go against bigger and stronger guys in the NBA. Unlike a lot of guys that fit his profile, I think he has the potential of developing a decent mid-range jump shot. Didn't shoot a lot of them, but it's film form on his shot look good. Like when you watch him, when he does take jump shots, his form doesn't look bad. I think he's a guy that could develop that mid-range game. I think it's something that could definitely expand his potential. Offensive rebound is probably his best trait at this point. He averages about 3 offensive rebounds per game this past season. Really quick off the floor. When he's appears that he's boxed out, he does a good job of recovering and still able to get offensive rebounds, go up over guys. You'll see it tip him to himself or tip it back up and in. You see a lot of those. I love to see those kind of plays, guys that just don't quit on those rebounds and kind of keep tipping the balls and they get it in, man. You see that a lot from him on film. Weirdly, on the other side of the coin, defensive rebound is not his strength at all. Just doesn't seem to kind of put in the same effort on the defensive boards as he does offensively. And usually that's kind of the opposite with guys. But with him, it just seems like the focus and the effort isn't there when it comes to defensive rebounds, but he's super high motor on the offensive rebounding end. For some reason, that's just a weird thing that I noticed on film with him. Only averaged 0.7 assists per game, but if you watch the film, man, he seems to have really good instincts as a passer. In the pick and roll, I saw several times where he made great kickouts to open shooters and would hit cutters for easy shots at the rim. Rim protection is probably his second best trait. Has a 7'3 wingspan, does a really good job of staying vertical and defend without fouling. You know, we talk about that so much. We've kind of seen Jaren get caught in those situations, man, and get pick up some bad fouls. Again, man, staying vertical and defending without fouling is something big, especially for a big man, a guy that's going to be blocking a lot of shots. Really good help defender, but he can be undisciplined. He has a tendency to try to do too much. You'll see him leave his feet, leave his man to help when he doesn't need to. I wrote down, he tries to guard everybody. You would notice on film sometimes, like, he'll be guarding his man. It's like he gets, like, you get his mind, you can just see his mind working. Like, he'll leave his man and try to go help inside. And a lot of times he doesn't have to, it's unneeded, and you'll see him do that a lot. So he can work on his discipline on defense. He does move really well laterally. It has the potential to be good, I think, out to the perimeter guarding guys, which is what I feel would translate most to the NBA for him. And I think that's probably his best trait, but I think he has potential to guard out to the perimeter. Does a good job in the pick and roll, as you really need your big man to be able to do in the modern NBA. And he does a great job when switched on to guards, then take that roll pass away. He does a really good job of kind of following that pass and kind of baiting the guard into a certain pass. He'll jump in and get steals that way. He's still a little raw. He has good instincts and athleticism to be elite defensively, but still has some things to clean up. I mean, at 21, almost 22 years old, I think that's kind of the question with him. You would kind of want him to be a bit more developed at this point, and I think that's probably one of the things that has him probably going in the second round and then not being a first-round pick. He's just a little bit older guy, but he's still super, super raw, and I think that's a question I'm sure a lot of NBA GMs have with him.
Yeah, it's crazy that you mentioned his footwork on the offensive end, because you mentioned his ability to move laterally defensively. He moves his feet very well on the defensive end of the floor, and that's something I just wonder, like, to me, I'm wondering, how does he move his feet so well defensively? Like, yeah, his footwork, you know, you would think that would kind of translate some, but it doesn't seem to. When you're watching him on film, you see him, like, his move when he's back to the basket is bully ball, and that works against guys that are not as strong as you.
But you get in the league, and that's going to be something completely different situation.
Yeah, he's not going to bully ball everybody in the league. Like, there's some guys that he would be able to do that to, but he's going to run into quite a few that he's not going to be able to do that to. I like him as a role man in pick and roll. He always seems to get himself in the right spot to catch that ball to get the finish. I love his ability to run the floor. He gets down the floor very well for a guy of his size. Defensively, I worry, you know, he plays bully ball offensively, trying to back guys down. But defensively, he gets pushed off of his spot quite a bit. If you watch film on him, you see him kind of get shoved off of his spot some. And as you mentioned, he tends to, I put down, he has tendencies to overhelp off of his man.
Yeah.
You can go in.
You see that a lot.
And you can see him. You know, you've got two guys out there, and instead of playing his assignment, he's playing somebody else's assignment.
Yeah.
Or he's going too far one way and leaving guys open for either a corner three or a wide open mid-range shot that you're seeing them knock down. In the league that he plays in, that's something that he gets away with some, because guys aren't as great of finishers as they're going to be in the league. So that's something that you're going to need to see improve. But man, not everybody clicks at 18 or 19 years old. Some guys, it takes a little bit longer for them to put it together, and he has enough tools. You look at his athleticism, and, you know, you mentioned him as a rim protector at 1.6 blocks per game. If you're looking at that, you're like, well, I don't know how great that is. You would like to see that number higher, but blocks is not all that's included whenever it comes to rim protection. You know, 6'11 with a 7'2 wingspan, that means his standing reach is going to be north of 9 foot.
Yeah, it's going to be a deterrent at the rim.
Yeah, so, you know, just staying big, you know, get vertical, keep them arms up, and don't bite on those fakes. And even if you don't block the shot, you can cause them to change it. You know, you can redirect the shot without blocking, and he does a great job of that. So he is a guy. There are a number of different bigs in this draft that we've talked about some. I don't think he's a guy that has first round talent because of his age and how raw he is, but I see him as a guy that could, you know, definitely be drafted and be effective in the league as he gets to working with better coaching. I saw one interview where he talked about what he was working on in the summer was his mid-range game, and it shows him, you know, dribbling the ball, to taking some shots off the bounce, and he was shooting that, you know, 12, 15, 18-foot jumper, and the stroke does look pretty smooth. So that's something, you don't have to necessarily be able to shoot a three as a big in the league, but if you don't have any type of range at all, it really puts you into a box, and I think that he's at least putting the time in to see that improve.
Yeah, shout out to Young Harriet, one of our great listeners of the podcast, man. She chimes in all the time and compliments us and on the podcast and things that she likes. She's a big fan of Ismael Kamagate. When I said we were gonna break him down, man, she was telling me some of the things that she liked about him. And again, I think the thing that I was surprised when I looked and saw that he was 21 years old, because you kind of watch it on film, especially these European guys, a lot of these guys, especially these bigs, you think they're 18 years old. And when I looked at him, he was 21 and just still being super raw. I think that's kind of one of the things that's holding them down, but there's definitely some skills there. I think, and as you talked about, I didn't see that interview, but you could just watch on his form, on his jumper, there's definitely some potential there. And I think that raises his ceiling, right? Because if you're a guy that's just simply you're not going to be able to ever do anything. But at the rim, I think in today's NBA, that really limits it. If you're talking about 10, 15 years ago, it's a different story. But now you need to be able to step away from the basket and do at least a little bit of something, be able to be capable of knocking out a jumper so where guys honor you there, because if not, it's going to be tough. But I think with him, he's a guy that can move. We talk about guys only being able to play drop coverage and guys are getting killed in the pick and roll. I mean, I think he's a guy that will be able to guard those guards. I talked about earlier how he gets steals on post-entry passes and also kind of following that guard. He kind of baits the guard into passing the ball to a certain spot when he has his man still. He'll jump in, steal his man off, and steal. I think he'll be able to guard pretty well in the pick and roll. I think that's probably, I said with the offensive rebound, and I think those are probably the two things that I like about him most. But, I mean, he's a project big, and again, at 21 years old, man, do you want to take a guy on that's a project at that age? I think that's going to be the question for GMs with him.
Yeah, I think, you know, the defensive IQ is going to be a question mark, and that's something that, you know, GMs, I think that you find out in the interview process. Like, if you sit there and you break down film with him and you have him point out his mistakes, or even if it's not him, have him watching somebody else and pointing things out to see if he has it. And I don't know that he doesn't, but if you watch him on film, because of that tendency to overhelp, to get out of place, yeah, to play somebody else's role instead of his own, that has to be a question mark. But, you know, you see teams tend to take chances on bigs, because finding a good big, you know, there's 30 teams, and it's easy to argue that there are not 30 good bigs in the league.
Yeah, I agree. But to go back to your point, I forgot to mention that, and you talk about that, and I mentioned it, and you kind of elaborated on it. Man, when you watch on film, I mean, there's some bad ones. Like, I've watched some of them, like, what are you doing? Like, he'll leave his man leaving wide open for, like, a corner three or a mid-range jump shot. I'm, like, scratching my head, like, what were you thinking on that play? That's definitely something that he has to clean up, because, like you said, in the NBA, most of the time, those guys are going to knock those shots down. You saw sometimes where he was able to get away with it, where those guys missed the shot, but more times than not, you leave a guy wide open in the NBA, they're going to knock that down. So that's definitely, I think, probably the worst part of his game. That's definitely something. And is that something at this point that you can coach out of him? I mean, I know people talk about, oh, he's only 21 years old, but in basketball terms, that's, especially when you're talking about drafting a guy, that's pretty old. Even though I'm not one of those people that feel like, I mean, we've seen it time and time again, like, where guys get passed over because of their age. But if you're talking about a guy that's raw at that age, that's a little bit of a different story. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see where he falls. He's definitely a guy that I think gets picked. I don't think he gets picked in the first round, but I think he's a guy that you can see early to mid-second.
I think one thing that was promising in that same interview where they were talking about him working on that mid-range, and you saw a video of that, the guy that was conducting the interview mentioned the amount of growth that they saw from him after he started working with the French national team and he got around that NBA level talent. And so that is something, you know, and that's the NBA sees a lot of coaches come over. A lot of, you know, the Grizzlies have Darko Radakovic, a guy that came over. So this is not a complete knock on the coaching over there. But the second, you know, like, you're going to have maybe one to two coaches on those European teams that are NBA level coaches, as to where you come over to the NBA and now you have five or six different people that can coach at a high level. And that makes a difference. So getting around the right people makes all the difference. And he did see growth after working with the French national team and around those NBA level players. So maybe that's enough promise that you'll see somebody take a chance on him. And again, with his size and his athletic ability, I don't think that's too big of a risk, honestly.
I agree. Yeah, I definitely think he's a guy that ends up getting selected. Because again, man, it's so hard to find bigs. And when you look at that positive, that he's a guy that I think that will be able to go out and pick and roll, because that's a big thing. Because you have a lot of these bigs and they can really only play drop coverage and really struggle to play to guard the pick and roll. If you find a guy that can do that, even though some of the other things, those issues that they might have, you'll take them and think that's something that you could possibly coach out of. So again, I think that's one thing right there that will definitely get him drafted. The fact that I think that he will be able to guard the pick and roll. So be interested to see where he lands. No doubt about that.
We'll move on from him to another big man, the tale of two Jalens, Jalen Williams, the second Jalen Williams or the first Jalen Williams. I don't know about the birth date. I don't know who came first, chicken or the egg type thing. But Jalen Williams is 6'10", big out of Arkansas with a 7-foot-plus wingspan. He is another guy that I think is going to be capable of being a switchable defender. I think that he can play the pick and roll pretty well, and if he gets switched onto a guard, then he moves his feet well enough that he can hold his own. He's already a really good shot blocker. I would venture to say that probably a better – I don't know that he's a better rim protector than Kamigate, but I think he's a better shot blocker than Kamigate. He's not scared to take a charge. He can pass. There are a number of times, if you're watching Arkansas film, where he's got the ball down low and he's hitting guys out on the perimeter to knock down threes, and he just, you know, puts the ball – on a line and hits them where they don't have to do much to get that shot off. Really like his motor. His first step is really, really strong. He's a guy, he needs to work on his shot form. He's got kind of a catapult style shot. So that's something that you will need to see him improve on, because his release is a little bit slow. In the NBA, you're going to have to get that shot off a little bit faster. He's right hand dominant. He needs to add some weight and he needs to work on that offhand. Like, that there are times when you see him go to, like, he favors the right hand a little bit. So, you know, he needs to work on the offhand, and his offhand in his shooting motion as well. I wrote down offhand and kind of got myself confused there, but his offhand in his shooting motion, if you watch his follow through, his offhand is in a weird position every time that he shoots the ball. And that's something you can see these things improve. I think he's probably more of a stretch four than a true five. But, you know, I see kind of, if you want to get like player comparison style, I think that he could be a Naz Reid type player. You know, maybe not quite the starting level player, but if he gets minutes in a spot start, that he can come out there and he can be effective, because he can knock down the shot. He is a switchable defender. You know, he's not afraid to be gritty. I like big men that have a good motor seem to always translate at the next level. And Jalen Williams definitely has that.
Yeah. I mean, he's a guy that's projected probably mid second round for most of it, even though I think I did see one mock that had him there at the bottom of the first round. But you hit the nail on the head, man. When you look at the film, the first thing that I notice is the rim protection upside. I mean, he only averaged 1.1 blocks per game, but if you watch his timing and instincts look really good on blocks that he did get. I think that's something, I think he has potential to expound on it. That doesn't sound like a lot, but again, I think, and when you talked about, we talked about this about Kamigate, it's not always about just blocking shots either. I mean, it's just about being that deterrent at the rim. And I definitely think he can do that. And I also think he has potential to be a shot blocker. He stays vertical, as we always talk about, to avoid fouls. You'll see him get a lot of steals by kind of baiting guards to pass the ball to a certain spot. He'll jump in the lane and steal the pass. Also got a lot of steals on post-entry passes that I noticed. Kind of jumping in there in front of the man and jumping in there and getting a steal. He's really good with his
swim move to get to the ball.
Yeah, swim move to get to the ball, yeah. And really, really good with his angles and drop, in drop coverage. He takes really, really good angles on defense. Does a solid job of moving his feet when guarding jump shooters on the perimeter as well. I think one thing that I saw on the film, and I wrote this down, and you kind of mentioned this, I said, I wrote down, quote, knows how to fall to draw calls. I think he drew 48 charges on the season. That's a big number for a college basketball season. It just, there are times where I saw some of them where it probably should have been a block, but he sold it in a way, the way he failed that made the referee force him to call a charge. And I saw that a lot. He really knows how to charge, to take a charge. So I think that's going to be big in the NBA. Show some playmaking ability. 2.7 assists per 40 minutes is a pretty good number for a guy that's kind of a stretch 4 or 5. Makes good reads from the top of the key in a high post, especially finding cutters to the basket. I also saw a couple of those full court home run passes that he threw right on the money. He can thread the needle, man. You see some of those passes where he'll pass them in between two defenders to a player cutting to the basket, and there'll be pinpoint. That's not something that you usually see from a guy that kind of fits his profile. I think things that you want to improve on. He's fine as a catch and finish guy, but he struggles a bit to finish off the bounce. When you see him off the bounce, he struggles, as you talk about, mid-range or at the rim, doesn't really do a good job off the bounce. And if it's catch and shoot, man, I like him a lot better in those situations. Seems to have more success. He doesn't have a lot of explosion, as you'll see when he drives to the basket. It's kind of slow and methodical, and a lot of times if he can't get all the way to the basket, he'll stop and put up this little runner that I don't know if I saw him make one. Like, he doesn't have a lot of success on him. That's kind of like his bailout move if he can't get to the basket, and he'll just kind of throw up this emergency runner, and he usually doesn't make it. And you talk about his jump shot. He has a pretty slow release on that shot. Doesn't have a lot of touch on it. It definitely needs some work. And you talk about that on one of his arms, his hands will be in a normal shooting motion. His offhand will kind of, can't even describe what it is. It kind of fling it down. Like you said, it's almost like a slingshot type of shot, and it causes him to just not have a lot of touch on that shot. He didn't shoot a lot of threes. He was 23.9% on the year, half a make a game on close to two attempts per game, 17 of 71 overall. Teams kind of seem to stop closing out on him, and you'll see on film that he missed a ton of just wide open threes. Like, teams will leave him open, and he would take them, but he wouldn't make them. And he's not really an athlete, and I think not a big-time athlete. And I think the question with him, and you kind of touched on it, was is he going to be a stretch four or is he a five? But I think that's the question. He's kind of in between, because I think there are going to be some power forwards that, especially if, like you talk about stretch fours, that he might have a little bit of trouble guarding out on the perimeter. I mean, I don't think he'll have any trouble guarding him on at the rim, but on the perimeter, I think he might struggle a little bit. So I think that's the question with him. But again, man, it just depends on where you're looking at him in the draft. If he's projected down there kind of like where Tankathon has him, like in the 40s, I think he's a good pick. I don't think I would take him in the first round because I just think the fact that he's a tweener, like I said, he's not super explosive. But, I mean, he does. There's some good things that he does on film. There's no doubt about that. I think it's just some things in this game that I don't think you can really fix. I think that's just kind of going to be what he is due to the lack of explosiveness. And I think that's kind of what you're looking at with Jalen.
Yeah, I mentioned his first step, and I guess I need to clarify a little bit on there. When he receives the ball in the dunker's position, like he can get off the floor quick.
Yeah.
And that can easily be translated into, I'm saying, like, if he's dribbling the ball, he's not a guy that handles the ball that well. But if he's in the dunker's position, he's going to get up, and he can get up fast and finish the shot. So I do like that about him. Definitely some holes in his game. And like Isaac said, you see, as it is with a lot of these guys, you see them kind of spread out different places throughout the draft. But I think that Jalen Williams ends up being more of a second round pick rather than a first round pick. But still a guy that I like. I like his tools. I like what he can do. And definitely would not have an issue seeing him, if the Grizzlies maintain, if they keep a hold of that 47th pick and he's still there, he's a guy that I think has enough upside that they could take a swing there.
Yeah, I think at 47, I think he could be good value because, again, man, he does some good things for you. And I think a guy, especially on a defensive end, I think that's where his best attributes are. It could be a contributor there.
Yeah, man, I don't really have anything else on Jalen. We'll move on to the next prospect. I think you're up, right? Round two for you.
Yeah, man, this is a prospect that, and it kind of transitions, segues from what you just said. You kind of look at some of these guys and you're wondering, like, why is this guy projected here? Why is this guy projected here? And this is definitely a case here with Justin Lewis, 6'8", 235 pounds, 7'3 wingspan, sophomore combo forward out of Marquette, 20 years old. And he's on most mocks projected second round, like in some even late second, like 50. I think the last time I looked at Tankathon might have had him there at 49 and 50. But you look at the numbers, 16.8 points per game, 7.9 rebounds, 1.7 assists, 1.1 steals, 76.1 from the free throw line, 44% field goal percentage overall, 34.9% from three, 1.8 makes on 5.2 attempts per game, 58 of 166 overall. One thing that you like about him is his improvements from year to year, from the 2 years that he was there at Marquette. He almost improved all his stats, almost double across the board. He went from 7.8 points per game his freshman year to 16.8 his sophomore year. And again, man, 6'8", 235, 240, depending on where you look, physical, playing in the Big East, man, really, really physical league. And you have to be that playing in that league. And he's definitely that, playing against grown men. I like players coming out of Big East because they're more ready usually to kind of take on that physicality. And I don't think physicality will be any problem for him. Played a lot of small ball four and even some small ball five at Marquette. To me, he kind of puts you in the mind of a Jay Crowder, PJ Tucker type of player. I think he might be able to guard one through five, depending on the situation. Average 8 rebounds per game, which is that's really, really good, again, in a tough physical league. He's just one of those tough energy guys that winning teams need, and he has the ability to knock down a three for you as well. Plays tough, plays through contact, gets to the free throw line, shot 76% there. He can score off the dribble. Due to his size, he's able to post up smaller guys and score in the post. He's also able to handle the ball pretty well for a guy that is probably more of a four by position in the NBA. So he definitely has some ball handling skills there and some playmaking skills possibly. Even in weaknesses, I would say, even though he can knock down a three, he can still stand to be more consistent at 34.9%. Sometimes he has a tendency to settle for threes when that's not necessarily the best way of him being effective. He'll kind of settle for threes instead of doing some of the things that he probably can do better. But I said without the playmaking, his vision isn't the best. I have seen some make some plays. I mean, he does have good ball handling, but average of 1.7 assists to 1.9 turnovers. But I also noticed that being a bigger guy, like I said, at 6'8", 235, 240, it seems like there were times where he kind of sacrificed one end of the floor. Like, oh, he might play really well on defensive end, then go down the offensive end and take a play off, and then next time it might be vice versa. And I think that's just kind of due to his size. He's a bigger guy. So, I mean, I think conditioning is something that could be potentially an issue going to the next level. But I like a lot of things about him, man. When I look at it, I'm kind of surprised that he's projected mid to late second. Like, I see some guys up in the draft, like other guys that we talked about, like maybe a Wendell Moore, who's a guy that I really like, that's projected in the 20s possibly. I don't see a lot of separation between those two guys. They do a lot of the same type of things. They both play hard. They both bring good size at the wing. They're both solid three-point shooters. They do kind of a lot of the same things. So I don't know why they would be 25 to 30 picks apart from each other. Like, I don't understand. I think Justin Lewis is a guy, for some reason, that people are sleeping on. Like, but to me, he's right there in that 20 range. Like, at 29, I think he's a guy that I would be interested in. Of course, if you don't have to take him there and you feel like you can get him later, just wait and take him later. But again, man, he's a guy that I'm really surprised when you kind of look at the board compared to some of the other guys I've looked at, why they have him going so low.
Yeah, it's weird. It doesn't happen in this big of a stretch every year, but there seems to be a stretch of players where you're like, pretty much anybody that you mention from this number to this number can go, that like they can get drafted here or they can get drafted middle second. And it's not necessarily a bad thing either way. And Lewis is definitely one of those guys that has some talent that would make you think, okay, like he can be an end of the first round guy and be just fine. You know, 35% on five attempts, five plus attempts from three, you know, I was reading somewhere and it said that he hesitates to shoot the outside shot. And I'm like, I don't think we're watching the same film.
No, I didn't see that at all.
Because, you know, I think he had, what was it? It was 5.2 attempts per game. If a guy's shooting five threes a game, I don't think that's hesitation.
No.
And then,
especially in college.
Like, after I was reading that, I go in and I'm watching film, and the first shot that I see him take, they're on the fast break. He's running down the floor, coming down the left wing. He catches the ball. His defender is on his right shoulder, and he pulls up and knocks down a three with his defender right there, like right in his face. And I'm like, yeah, I didn't see any hesitation there. And so, you know, obviously not every shot is going to be like that one. But I love the fact, you know, he used that wingspan to be a great rebounder. You go down, you look through his rebounding numbers, and you see multiple games where he's double digits throughout the season. Like his athleticism, his footwork in the post is fantastic. I think that he has ability to self-create a little bit, but his handle is not all that strong. And so I think that he needs to tighten that up some. And if he does that, he could be pretty lethal. You know, and for a guy that's kind of in between positions, like he can guard multiple positions. Is he going to be a three or a four? If he's playing as your role man in the pick and roll, I think you're going to be in trouble. I don't feel like that's a strong part for him or a strong point for him. Excuse me. I think he has some work to do there. But, you know, you talk about where he played defensively, played some small ball five there. This is a guy that can guard three through five pretty comfortably. I like that the PJ Tucker comparison. I think that he's better offensively than Tucker.
Yeah. But
like the body type, the physicality, what he brings to the table, I think that he could very well project out to be a guy similar to PJ Tucker in the league.
Yeah, I mean, he's just one of those type of guys that if you're a winning team, you need those guys. They might not be the flashiest. They might not come in. And I think with him, I think he might even, like you said, be a little bit norther there offensively. I think he could do a little bit more than the normal just kind of energy guy that you do bring in that can guard. I think he can offensively do a little bit more than that. But he's just one of those type of players that you're a winning team. You like to have those type of guys on the team. I mean, he's going to play hard. He's tough. I mean, and attitude-wise, he's the same thing. He has kind of a mean streak. He kind of plays with that chip on his shoulder, toughness. And I love those guys. I mean, and we you know how we love those guys here in Memphis with this Grizzlies team. And I like him a lot. And again, man, to me, it's just surprising to see if you could get him at 47, man, I think you're getting an absolute steal. Like, I don't know why he would be hanging around at 47. I mean, of course, he's not perfect, has some holes in his game, especially, like you said, man, guarding pick and roll, I think – will be kind of an issue for him, but I think the positives definitely outweigh the negatives with him. And again, anytime you can get a guy that can guard multiple positions and has the potential to knock down shots, I think he definitely has a role in his league as a 3-and-D guy. And I think again, man, you can be able to play him all over the floor, man. So it's some 3-4 small ball five, wherever. And he has experience doing that in a really tough league, and he definitely has an NBA body. There's no question about that coming in. I mean, he's a big guy that I think will be able to handle that pounding. So, I mean, he's a prospect that I really like, man. I liked him already. I mean, he's a guy that I kind of like throughout the year, and even watching film, man, I think it even increased my like of him. Like I said, man, I hate to fall in love with guys, man, but he's definitely on my list of guys that I really like. And if he's there in the second round, if the Grizzlies could get him even higher than 47, they move around or something, would have no problem seeing him in a Grizzlies uniform. Matter of fact, man, if you check the Marquette uniform, they have a uniform that's almost exactly like those powder blue kind of pajama looking uniform the Grizzlies used to play in, man. So he's already used to kind of playing in that Beale Street blue.
Bring him on, man. Bring him on. We will wrap this episode up. Our last prospect for this one is Hugo Bissone. He is a 6'6".
Kiwi, man.
6'6" guard. Man, When I initially started watching film on him, I'm like, okay, is he a point guard? Is he a shooting guard? And I think a little bit of both is the answer. I think a combo guard is a good way to kind of place him because he seems more like a score first guard to me than a guy definitely that's looking to get his teammates involved. So I don't know that true point guard would be in the definition for him, but he takes care of the ball very well. I love that he can change speeds on his jump shot. So there's times when you need to get your shot off faster, you can watch film on him and you'll see different timing on his jump shot. I don't know that it causes consistency issues. You would worry about that with him changing the pace of it. I don't see that it really does that for him at all. He's a career 80% free throw shooter. You guys know how much I love free throws. He's a guy that can get to the rim. He's got a good mid-range. And he is very, very good at pulling up off of the bounce. I would even say he is an elite jump shooter at this point. 21 years old out of he's playing for the Breakers out of New Zealand right now. And I just – there are a number of things in his game. The pull-up, like I think he is an elite jump shooter. I love his ability to be like a live ball passer. And so to break that down a little bit, a live ball passer, some guys have to pick up their dribble to pass the ball, and some guys can pass the ball in the middle of their dribble. Ja Morant is one of the best in the league at being a live ball passer. And I think that Bissone is a guy that can come in, and I'm not saying that he can do it at Ja Morant's level, but he is a good live ball passer. So his shot selection is questionable at times. That tends to happen with shooting guards, right? We see what Dylan does. Dylan kind of plays the three more for the Grizzlies, but he's more of a gunslinger. And those guys tend to have poor shot selection. So with Bissone, that's something that you would need to work on. And of course, defense. Like, what is he going to be able to do defensively? – Is he going to be able to hold his own against one, twos, and threes? I don't know. And the film that I was able to watch on him, I don't even know that he's a serviceable defender. Honestly, that's something that he's going to have to work on. And that's a little bit scary. And a guy that's coming in, when you have Ja Morant, who he expends so much energy on the offensive end of the floor, that his defense is just below that. It is. He's not a good defender. We all know that as Grizzlies fans. And so taking a risk on a guy or going out and getting a guy to back him up that is not a good defender is not a great move. So I don't know that Hugo is a guy that that the Grizzlies would be targeting, but I think that he could be a guy that would be electric off the bench as like a microwave scoring type player.
Man, with Hugo, I like him, first of all, but there are definitely some things in his game that concerns me on whether he would play, he'll be able to play at the NBA level. Like when I first tried, like this is the guy that I watched several months ago, like, and shout out again to Young Harris. He was the first person to tell me about him. And I kind of started watching him, and I like a lot of things that I see on film, but there's some bad stuff that you will see as well when you watch him. Now, first off, the good stuff, man, he's fun to watch. You said super flashy, a guy that you can see just could come in and excite a crowd. I mean, he's out there dribbling, he's taking these long threes, knocking down shots, and all that's good. But he's a really talented ball handler as well. And you mentioned he can change speeds really well. Also has a variety of crossovers in his bag. Super confident in his game in itself. Like, there's not a shot that he doesn't like. Like, he's super confident in his pull-up game for deep threes. A really good spot-up shooter. And gets good elevation on his release for a guy that's 6'6". I mean, his shot would be hard to block. Moves well off the ball and shoots a lot of jumpers off movement, which is something that you see in today's NBA a lot from shooting guards. You talk about the self-creation potential. He's a guy that can operate on the perimeter and create a perimeter shot and also get to the basket. In terms of playmaking, has shown the ability to operate and make plays out of the pick and roll. I just think that is he a willing passer? And that's kind of the question. Is he a point guard? Is he a shooting guard? Because, again, he's a guy that likes to shoot the basketball and create for himself. It's not that because you'll see at times he can do it. It's if will he do it, I think, is the question. But he's a decent point of attack of defender. I wouldn't say the lateral quickness is great, but it's okay. Now, to the weaknesses. Despite how good of a ball handler he is, he can struggle to get by defenders. He doesn't have the first step or burst to get by guys. So a lot of times you'll just see him dribbling and not able to get by his man, and then he'll get late in the shot clock and just throw up some wild three. Because he feels like he can make these shots, and you'll watch it with an offense and their passes that he could have made, and he doesn't make them. I mean, he'll just dribble, and then just pull up for a wild three, and that's not a good thing. I mean, he has a tendency to play hero ball at times, and we kind of talked about Dillon and that, man. You kind of see, and that's something that Dillon had grown out of for the most part. I mean, you'll see him revert back at times, so I'm not going to bash him on that. But again, man, Bassone is a guy that can have a tendency to play hero ball and ignore his teammates when there were better plays to be made. Remember, I mentioned the confidence. He can be confident to a fault. And again, take bad shots outside of the offense. He can get to the rim, but he really, really struggles to finish at the rim. He has a tendency to go to the basket just out of control, like with no plan, and just throw up some wild shots that have no chance of going in. And he doesn't finish well through contact. I mean, he's not strong enough to finish well. And you know, if he's struggling to do that with the breakers, that it's going to be an issue when he gets to the NBA. Also, defensively, not a good weak side defender at all. He doesn't read off ball motions well and gets caught on screens regularly. Like, anytime he gets screened out, it's over with. And then he gets caught on switches a lot, and they'll switch him on to the post. He'll end up guarding the post, and he's barbecue chicken when you get down there. So those are the things that really concerns me, because I don't know if he's going to be able to guard in the NBA at all. And that's kind of what scares me about and ask the question, can he play in the NBA? I think offensively he can, but I just defensively, if you're struggling the way that I saw him struggle in the NBL, I got big time questions on whether he'll be able to guard at all, like in the NBA. Like, I mean, I think he could potentially just be a guy that just cannot guard in the NBA, and that's just not something you want. You at least want a guy to be passable, and I don't even know if he can do that at his ceiling.
Yeah, and that's – It's all that seems to be an ongoing thing when you're looking at the international prospects. You wonder about their defense. There's a handful of guys when you're looking at this draft that defense does not concern you whenever it comes to international prospects. Maybe not a handful, but there are a couple of them that defense is not a massive concern. But I think the speed of the game that tends to be where the disconnect happens. Like, can this guy pick up the speed of the game? We talked about Marco Guterich on a previous show and how good he was at shooting the three overseas, and he never could pick up the game at the NBA level. And so, you know, we're not worried about offense from Bissone, but you see him get blown by in the NBL. You see him get exposed in the NBL, and it's like, man, the level of talent is going to be higher at the NBA. Is he going to be able to do enough? It doesn't – in the NBA, you don't have to be an elite defender to be able to be out on the floor, but you have to be able to do enough. And that's probably the biggest question mark in his game. But a guy like Lou Williams has never been a good defender in his entire career, but he was able to go out there and get buckets. So he made a long career out of going and getting buckets. And Bissone can definitely do that. So maybe that offensive upside is enough that you see him get a shot. Maybe he sticks, maybe he doesn't. But with the question marks in the Grizzlies backcourt, and, you know, is Tyus Jones staying? Is he going? Is there going to be a hole? That's the reason I actually jumped into the film to start reading. And I got to be honest, man, I think Young Harriet may have been the first one that I saw mention him.
Yeah.
That's when I started diving into film to see. But, you know, there are a number of different guys that I would prefer over him. But we're just trying to get these prospects out there. And some light, we're looking at it, okay, is this guy going to fit with the Grizzlies? But more than anything, we want to get these guys out here so you guys at least have an idea of who some of these prospects are. And, you know, those of you that are still listening throughout the offseason, we appreciate you because, you know, you're degenerates like us. So thanks for continuing to listen to the show. Man, I think that we have knocked these four out of the park. I don't have anybody else for tonight. Anything else you want to go over before we get out of here?
Just a couple more notes on Bissone. To me, I think he's a shooting guard. And I think, again, that's, of course, because, again, man, I think – but he's shown the ability to make some plays as a lead guard. Like, I saw him. I just think, is he willing to do that? I think he just wants to shoot the basketball, and that's kind of his mentality. You can see it, man. He's super confident in his shot, and when he comes up the floor, he's thinking about, how can I get this three-point shot off? That's, like, his first thought versus making plays. But, again, man, like you said, you see a guy like Lou Will that really doesn't play any defense, a guy that – you could put in that same vein in between the point guard and shooting guard. What is he really? He's a guy that just, you don't even talk about position. He just comes in and get buckets. And maybe Hugo Bissone with the offensive potential upside, he can be that microwave type scorer and get on somebody's team and be a guy that comes in out the bench and knock down buckets. I mean, that could be what he is, man. We'll see what happens. But he's projected as a late second round pick. I'd like to get Steven Adams' thoughts on it. I'm sure he's probably aware of him and in his game, man. I'd love to know what he thought about him.
Yeah, that'd be so like a countryman when you, which I think, but someone, he's playing in New Zealand, but I think he's from France, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, is he from France?
I thought he was
from there. Maybe I'm mistaken. Maybe he's just playing there.
He's
the
playing
name is
New
the
Zealand.
Name is definitely French, but the name,
yeah.
Name is
hometown is, and I'm probably gonna say it, but it looks like Angers, France.
Oh, okay.
That's probably not the proper pronunciation of that town.
Because I know some of the New Zealand Australian Grizzly followers that follow me on Twitter have kind of talked to me about him, man, and they were calling him Kiwi. Like, I thought he was actually from there. I know, like, you'll see guys like some of the African guys, like from the Grizzly, they'll say they're from the Congo, but they're raised in France and stuff like that. So I thought it was maybe one of those type of situations, but I guess maybe he's actually from France.
Maybe it is. I have no idea. I'm just on Tankathon, and that's what it says. It says hometown is in France. So either way, that doesn't matter. When we're breaking him down, we don't care where their hometown is. We're going to look at the film and give you the best shot we got. So we will wrap it up. I've got nothing else for today's show. Again, keep an eye out. If the Grizzlies make any moves before this draft, if a trade goes down or anything like that, we will have Candace back on the show to help us break that stuff down. She is not with us right now, but she is definitely not long-term gone from the show. She will be back around with us next season and when we're breaking down free agent stuff later on in the offseason. So we appreciate her and what she's brought to the show this year. You can get the show on Twitter at Ethos Grizzlies. I'm at DavidW2111. Candace is at CandaceH901. Isaac is going to let you know where you can find him and get us out of here.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Isaac_Rivals. It's ISAAC_Rivals, man. Thanks for everybody for continuing to rock with us, breaking out this draft coverage. Again, man, make sure you keep it locked at Ethos Grizzlies. Definitely have you locked for draft coverage. And if anything breaks, we're definitely going to get on here and break that down as well. So make sure you keep it locked right here. But we'll be back later on in the week, breaking down even more prospects. So be on the lookout for that. For David, this has been Isaac, and we'll talk to you next time. Be gone.
And that will conclude our Sports Ethos presentation.